Good morning, everybody. Welcome to your Packers Daily Chat here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. I am Aaron Nagler, your host, to guide you through the morass that is the Packers offseason. And it's opening day. Happy opening day to all you Brewers fans out there and baseball fans in general. Only 159 more to go. I love baseball. It's so ridiculous. But I do love the Brewers. I do love listening to a good euchre call in the middle of the summer. And Lord knows, baseball season means we're one step closer to football season. That's all that really matters. Hello to everybody in the comment section. Good to see you all. Hope you're doing well. And I'd just like to address something right off the top of the bat here. Yes, it is April Fool's. No, I am not going to be doing any kind of April Fool's jokes. And my God, don't believe a fucking thing you read in the comments today, either here or anywhere on the internet. It is the worst day to be on the internet. So don't believe anything you see or hear today. Just want to get that right out of the way. Vex, thanks for the super chat. Rodgers just had an outlier of a year and failed to get it done versus the Bucks. Fans sure have short memories. Thanks for being the best Packers coverage. Thanks for the comment at the end there. I'm not so sure that I would call Rodgers last year an outlier or that he failed to get it done, as it were. I do decry him not running for it on third down and instead throwing the ball at Devontae Adams' feet. I do remember him being late on the throw to Devontae that ended up with Devontae out of bounds. And if Rodgers throws it in rhythm, it's a touchdown. Of course, there's the drop touchdown from Devontae earlier in the game. These things all add up, but I wouldn't say Rodgers, quote, wasn't able to get it done. He also made a number of great plays in that game. And as far as an outlier, one would think it's a natural progression, right? That first year in the system, getting used to things, still trying to work on the hybrid of the offense that they had, keeping some of the stuff from McCarthy's system that Rodgers liked and was comfortable with, meshing it with LaFleur's stuff, and then kind of going from there and growing and expanding the playbook and what they both feel comfortable with in the second year of the system. I think you saw a natural progression from Rodgers. I wouldn't call it an outlier. Now, of course, it will be interesting to see how things progress in year three, if there is regression, if it is, as you say, an outlier. I tend to think what we saw from Rodgers last year can be the new norm for a number of years, which is scary for Packers opponents. I do think the Packers have given themselves a little bit of insurance in case it is, as you say, an outlier in drafting Jordan Love. But I'm hesitant to label it as such. I think it's a pretty natural progression to have a guy who's been in the league playing for 16 years and knows the ins and outs of every nook and cranny of the game of football, marry him with a scheme that is very quarterback friendly. And yeah, he's going to set the league on fire. Can he maintain it? Can he sustain it? That's a $1 million question right there. But I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And again, thank you for the kind words. It's very nice of you. What else we got? Ben, thanks for the super chat. Do you prefer offensive tackle or center in the first? In the first? Offensive tackle by a mile. They have shown the Packers over the last decade plus a uncanny ability of finding interior guys more than capable on day three. And I think you've got Lucas Patrick and you've got Elgton Jenkins, both of them who you know can play center. What you don't have is a long-term answer at tackle. And I do think you got to find that in this draft, especially if you listen to my chat with Mike Renner. This is a class that sets up pretty damn well for the Packers to find value there at 29, given the other positions that will most likely go in front of them and or the depth of the position and tackle. You're going to find a guy you can plug and play most likely at 29. That's my 2-bit read of the situation anyway. The Packers have been fortunate to not have to draft a QB for years. Duke, that is 1,000% correct. The best time to find a quarterback is when you don't need one. Just ask the Chicago Bears. Is there a place to find a draft guide that focuses on the Packers? Insert plug here. In fact, the Cheesehead TV draft guide, which only focuses on the Packers, will be out in less than a week now, April 7th. So get your pre-order in so you can lock in that pre-order price of $9.99. Once the pre-order is done, pre-sale is done, it goes up to $12.99. Get your $9.99. Get it in right now. And Patreon members, don't forget, if your email is the same as the one you order with, the one that's linked to your Patreon account, you will get early access, probably 24 hours early. So get up and get ready. Drew Brooks, Bears still suck. Thank you, Drew. Picking on the Bears. It's easy to pick on the Bears. Come on. Come on. Justin, thanks for the super chat. I know new season started, but how do I politely tell people who said kicking the field goal against Tampa was wrong that they're stupid? Come on now. They're not stupid. Look, I understand not wanting to kick the field goal there. I understand wanting to let Rodgers get to it, especially because it's very clear Rodgers thought he was going to be able to, you know, have an opportunity on fourth down. Otherwise, I don't think he ever throws that ball into Davante Adams' feet in the dirt on third down. Now, that said, I love the decision to kick the field goal there because you've got to play defense either way. You've got to stop Tom Brady either way. And LaFleur is trying to give his team and or Aaron Rodgers a chance to win it in regulation rather than playing for overtime, which is such nonsense. But I hear you, Justin. I feel you. Chad, thanks for the super chat. If offensive tackle is still stacked at 29, do the Packers trade back and get an extra third rounder? I think it's a possibility. It's never as easy as just saying that and doing it, right? You've got to have a trade partner. And who knows what might be available on the board to compel a team to jump up from the second round to try and get an extra, you know, first round pick, etc. Is it possible? Sure. But I tend to think if there's a guy they really like and have targeted, they'll just take him, you know. Nuclear Family, thank you for the super chat. Why do people say pick three will be Shanahan's guy? Doesn't it need to be Lynch's guy? Does the coach need to adjust to the GM's guy or the other way around? I think in this particular case, more often than not, it's probably the GM. But in this particular case, because Kyle has done such an amazing job as a play caller and a developer on the offensive side, I think Kyle will be given pretty, not free reign, but I think he'll be given a lot leeway to maybe not make the pick, but strongly suggest who the pick should be. And look, you know, come on. John Lynch is riding Shanahan right now. I mean, yes, he's provided him with a lot of talent, but, you know, it's easy to provide guys with talent when you're, you know, picking in the top, whatever, many multiple years, which the 49ers have over the course of the last decade or so. So, yeah, I do think they got to get this one right, though. And I said this, was it during the Patreon happy hour last night, I think? You know, some of people give the Bears all this shit about missing on Watson and Mahomes. The 49ers did too. No one seems to give them crap about it, though. You know, they traded for Garoppolo, paid him all this money for him not to be the answer. And now they've made another monster trade to move up to three to supposedly get their quarterback, all because they didn't get Watson or Mahomes when they could have. You know, but somehow John Lynch, that master of personnel, seems to escape all that scrutiny and criticism, which I just find kind of interesting. That's just me, though. With 29th pick on the 29th of April, we have the golden pick. Walter breaking it down like nobody else does. That's why you come to Cheesehead TV, because commenters are that smart. They're thinking on another level, people. Come on now. Costanza tells Steinbrenner, I think I found a way to acquire Bonds and Griffey, and it won't cost that much. Does that sound like most Packer fans? Mark, that's pretty spot on, actually. I like it. James, with the BS talk of Rodgers not playing in Green Bay next year, is there any truth to this? No, James. That's why it's called BS talk. There is zero truth to Rodgers possibly not playing in Green Bay next year. Anyone who tells you that Rodgers won't be playing in Green Bay next year, or that there's even a possibility that Rodgers won't be playing in Green Bay next year, can be safely ignored. And you might want to consider breaking off any kind of ties with them in your life. That's all I'm saying. John Butler, greater than John Lynch all day, every day. John only speaking truth here in the comments. What are the chances that KC Green Bay in week 18 is full of backups? Maybe game won't carry that much weight. Basic username. That is not how it's going to work. That game has been added to the mix for scheduling. It's not necessarily in week 18. It is not the 17th game, the last game they play. That could be a week one game. We won't know when they're playing Kansas City until the schedule comes out. So the hope that it won't mean anything is dashed in that regard. I would think the NFL is going to want to put that in a prime spot. I don't know about week one, but I think it's definitely going to be at some point, major primetime event, probably middle of the season. I don't think we'll be so lucky to have it at the end of the year. Will Packers social media try to troll us on April Fool's Day? Duke, I would doubt it. Ride Rodgers till the wheels fall off, man. First time seeing you live in weeks. Enjoy what you do. How you think regarding the Packers. Andrew, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you so much. No problem, Basic. I hear you, man. That, it's a common thing. A lot of people have had that kind of misconception about the additional game, and it is confusing because they keep referencing it as the 17th game. But, yeah, it could be anywhere. We don't know yet. Surprised an extra bye week wasn't added, too. No, not at all. A, just for the headache of the scheduling of it, but B, they don't want to give these guys more time off. You know, they want to keep them playing. And, look, the league's answer to that is, you know, they've taken away the preseason game and they've added a bye where that fourth preseason game was. Funnily enough, though, the guys don't get to get away. They have to keep practicing and stay in the facility every day. So it's not really a bye, but they're not playing. And, you know, that's the off week, the extra off week that they get, according to the league. Amar, what's up, buddy? Thanks for the super chat. From the HH last night, I've noticed that Ted Thompson would focus more on players who can just play, i.e. Hyde, Gunter, with limited athletic traits. Goody is all athletic traits. Need a balance. I don't know if I agree with your police work there, Amar. Don't forget, Ted Thompson's the guy who took Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins, all about athletic upside with those guys that never came to fruition as far as being players. I hear what you're saying. I do think Ted Thompson loved him, a good football player. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think Goody and Ted Thompson are pretty lockstep when it comes to looking at athletic traits and eschewing limited athleticism for guys who can play football and hit the ground running in that regard. There may be a bit more of that with Brian comparatively, but I don't think it's as cut and dry as you're making it out to be there. Did I read Treader's statement on player safety? Thoughts? I did. I have limited thoughts, as you guys know. I think it's really smart of him to position the players the way he's attempting to there. I think, to me, last year, a lot of the protocols that were put in place because of the pandemic obviously were collectively bargained. I would think they would have to go, I think this is his attempt to get the league talking again and making some of those things permanent. I was just on the radio actually talking about this, and I think I'd love the IR rule to stick, you know, where you can bring a guy back after 3 weeks. I know Treader's statement is much more about the offseason, keeping guys away from the facility. That has been a big goal of the PA for the last, you know, couple of contract negotiations. I do not doubt for a moment that coaches will hate it. I think it's an easy give for the league, though. And no one really gives a shit what coaches think. So, yeah, I think there's a good chance that you'll see some of that continued and extended after the pandemic. Lefty, thanks for the super chat. I'm just here to point out that while some fans are losing it, players are having the time of their lives in Brandon Dunes, R-E-L-A-X. I had that exact thought yesterday. That exact thought. Like, there are people, both in the media and in the fandom, all up in arms on March 31st, then, now I recognize it is April 1st today, all upset and concerned and twisting themselves in knots about Rodgers' contract while he's like down in like, you know, Mexico with his new woman or in Arkansas doing whatever he's doing, tweeting out bars stuff. And like, he's totally fine. He's having the time of his life while the machine just grinds on without him. Like, yo, all that shit will still be there later in this offseason when the season starts. Can we just enjoy the offseason a little bit? Just a little bit? Especially in light of the fact that there's been absolutely no new news. You know, every time we talk about Rodgers, it's like, the Packers have done nothing with Rodgers' contract. So why the fuck are we talking about it? Why the hell are we still bringing it up? There's literally no new news. Driving me. Meanwhile, Rodgers is down in Mexico kicking it like, yo, what's up? just blows my mind. Blows my mind. Ooh, I love these questions. Joe, which two players already on the roster, offensive and defensive, that could take the next step would help us the most? The most? Man, that's a trick question, right? On offense, the big next step I'd love to see is from Jace. I think that would give them a real multifaceted weapon on offense that would create a lot of matchup problems for defenses. I mean, the runner up there, I think, would be, say, like Jake Hansen. Solve the position at center would be nice. I don't think that's going to happen, though. On defense, we've seen Gary coming on. Give me Kamal Martin. I think Kamal could solve a lot if he develops the way I hope he does. And I know last year was real hit and miss. I thought Mike Renner made a really good point regarding, you know, the jump from college to pros and how a lot of inside backers, you know, struggle with that transition initially. Just from a read and react standpoint, speed of the game, things of that nature. I think Kamal could go a long way to quieting the doubts about the interior of the defense. I think that would be great. Stanley, thanks for the super chat. I'm tired of ESPN. They don't know what the hell going on about the Packers organization. That's why I'm listening to Cheesehead TV all day. That's very kind of you, Stanley. Thank you very much. I would temper that with you're correct when it comes to the national level. But I will say no one knows this team, how they operate, the ins and outs, and has more sourcing than Rob Domofsky. There is zero question about that. So yeah, while, you know, Get Up or NFL Live or whatever the hell else programming that ESPN throws out there to talk about the NFL, when they talk about the Packers, 98% of the time, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. I think Mina Kimes does the best job of all the national voices of at least trying to figure out what's happening with the Packers. I know she really puts in the work, but more often than not, yeah, most of those people just like open their mouth and hot air comes out. But on the local level, Rob absolutely fucking kills it. I will not be hearing a bad word about Rob's coverage because I think he does a great job. But for the most part, you are correct. There it is, Vex. I hear you, buddy. Punter at 29? Yes, if for no other reason than to watch Corey Banky jump off his back deck. Please. Runyon at center and agree on Jay Martin. Ray, I think Runyon at center is an interesting proposition. I think it's a possibility. I really do. But I do think they'd probably prefer to kick Patrick into center and have Runyon play guard. That would be my guess. But I do think they'll probably give him a chance to compete there in camp, no doubt. Ben, thanks for the super chat. If drafting Love is why Rodgers was MVP, if we draft another quarterback, will Rodgers go Superman on both sides of the ball, start playing middle linebacker also? Why not? Let's do it and find out. No, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Oh, wait a sec. Brandy, it is not a Cheesehead TV event where comments are enabled. If Brandy Lewis is not ripping on Ty Summers. It just isn't. It just isn't. It doesn't officially become a Cheesehead TV moment. Like, we're not even existing here until Brandy Lewis rips on Ty Summers. Ty Summers, I know he is a depth price piece, needs to make a step. He finds himself on the field due to injuries more and more. That is the only reason he finds himself on the field, and that is the only reason he should be on the field. He is a fine role player / special teams guy. Totally fine. And guess what? He was a seventh rounder. So that's fine. That's exactly what you want from that. That is precisely what seventh rounders should be. No question about it. He shouldn't be on the field. You don't want him on the field. He is, in case of emergency, break glass at middle linebacker. That's what Ty Summers is, and that's fine. The world needs ditch diggers too. 100%. Do I think Love can be the guy? Yes, I do. I think all of the upside is there. I think all the athleticism you ever need, can make every throw, can absolutely be a playmaker in the NFL. He's just got to be consistent. He's got to develop. And the only thing that's going to answer that question is time, which is something I know the internet struggles with. But can he do it? Absolutely. Will he? I have no idea. I look very, 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 very much forward to finding out. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day here on Cheesehead TV, on Packers Daily, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. It's what I do. I really, really appreciate all of you every day coming in, mixing it up, talking Packers. I know there are lots of places on the internet you can go to get your Packers fix. And the fact that you utilize Cheesehead TV in any way, shape, or form in that regard really means a lot to myself, to Corey, everyone involved with the brand. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.